Hello. So I'm going to present you this community training, but before we say what it is, let's just walk from what we already know, and that's generative models that we use for that we have seen so far. So basically, they are we are by decoding with generative models, we are trying to find the translation target translation T out of space of all possible translations of a source sentence S, such that it has a maximum probability of T given S, right? So, and we compute that by first apply the Bayes rule, and since the denominator is probability of the source sentence, it's the same for all target sentences. We can just forget about the probability of the source sentence and get this formula. So, P of T is what you have just heard, the probability of the language model, and P of source translation given source sentence given target sentence is what we call translation model. So, we can try to generalize this first by we can apply log function to it. Log is a monotone function, so when we apply it, we don't break anything. So the maximum translation is still with the translation with maximum probability is still the same as the translation of which has the maximum sum of logs of probabilities. And then we can just write this as a multiplication of two vectors. So first vector is what gives weights to these components, and in this case they are equally weighted, so both have weight 1, and the second vector is just the components that we are using, so log of translation model and log of language model. And basically we can write this in more general form. It's just that the first vector is what we would call the weight vector, and the second vector is the feature value vector. So why would we do this? The reason is that we can add more features, more indicators of what is a good translation. So we can have a word penalty, phrase penalty, more language models, more different translation models, and all kinds of features. Second reason is that we can weight them differently. So even if we would stay only with two features, we might want to weight them differently. Maybe translation model is more important than the language model, or many different cases. And finally, we are not optimizing the likelihood of our data because in the end, we are interested in some evaluation metric, maybe blue or meteor or whatever. So we, in this discriminative training, we can estimate the weights in such a way to find the translation that is good in the desired error metric. But what we lose compared to generative models is that it has no probabilistic interpretation anymore. So the values can go from minus infinity and to plus infinity, and the final scores, and there's no value to which all translations sum up to. Okay, so the usual way how we do decoding is we pass the source translation source sentence S to a decoder. Decoder tries to find the translation T such that it has maximum value of multiplication of weight vector and the features of that translation. And then we take the reference R and compute the blue score. So in the process of tuning, it will be slightly different. First, instead of generating the best translation T, we will generate the list of n best translations. So each of these translations has with it associated the model score and the feature values. So from there, we pass it through the evaluation metric for which we want to optimize, let's say blue score, and then we get additional component which is blue score for each option that we have in the NBEST list. Ideally, we would want that model scores that are assigned by our decoder correlate with the blue scores. So the good translations in terms of blue score should be considered good translations also by our decoder. But that is not always the case, of course. So we need to find lambdas that would give us this kind of good ranking. And for that, we use many different learning algorithms. It can be most popular ones are MERT, MIRA, and PRO. And these are the ones that we will look at in this lecture. And they give us a new set of weights for our features. However, these features are, these weights are estimated in a way that would be good for re-ranking of an embeds list, which means they are not necessarily good for decoding. We got this embeds list from old weights, and in order to get a new embeds list, that we pass this again to the decoder and get new embeds list, and then we repeat this cycle several times until the blue score that we get, final blue score that we get, converges. So let's look at the first algorithm. So this is the most popular one. It's called minimum error rate training, or MERT. And it's invented 12 years ago, and it's still very much in active use today. So it optimizes parameters one by one. So we first optimize, let's say, the weight of the language model, and keep all the other weights frozen. And then when we find the best weight in these constraint settings for the language model, then we freeze that weight and optimize the weight for the translation model. And repeat this process several times until results converge. Yes, so it optimizes objective directly, and it works relatively well with systems which have relatively small number of features. Okay, so how does it work? So first, let's look at the score is defined as multiplication of weight vector with feature value vector. Which is, we can write it as a summation in this way for each feature. And let's say we want to optimize the weight of the feature C. Doesn't matter which one it is. So we can just extract it from this summation and write lambda C, the weight of the feature C times the feature value of the feature C plus all the other weights times their values. Feature values, and let's call these other values just UC, just to give them some name. So that means everything but feature C. So if you look carefully at it, you can see that the only variable here that we have is lambda C. Everything else is a constant. So we don't change the feature value of the feature C doesn't change, and the rest is fixed. We don't change the feature values of other features nor their weights. So the only thing that changes is lambda C. And basically, this is a linear function with one variable. So so you can plot in a way all the translations in your n-best list. So here, lambda C is this variable that we have. And each line represents a different translation in our n-best list. The P of X is basically the model score. So this plot is from Philip Cohen's book, and P of X, I guess, is meant to symbolize the probability of translation X, but again, these are not probabilities, so maybe it's better just to call them scores. Okay, so and numbers here don't mean the quality of translation. They are just identifiers of hypotheses. So what we are interested in is the argmax of the decoder. So if we set lambda C in this region 1, the best translation will be translation number 1. If we set the lambda C in the region number 2, the best translation will be this line number 2, or translation number 2. And if we set lambda C in the third region, the best translation will be translation number 5. Okay, so basically, the places where what is argmax changes is intersection of these lines. So in the point T1, we change what is argmax. In the point T2, it changes what is argmax. And the main trick about MERT algorithm is finding these threshold points. So basically, we need to find all intersections of these lines. collect them, and then test them and see which one of them gives the best blue score or whichever score is you are optimizing. So so let's see how do we... Okay, so this is blue score, and yeah, so you repeat this several times for each feature. Okay, so how do we extract this intersection of these two lines? So basically we want, let's say we want to find between translation 1 and 2. So it would be score of translation 1 and score of translation 2 needs to be equal. We already know that we can write the scores in this way. And if you look at it, everything here is a constant, so except lambda c. So hc, the feature value of translation 1 is constant, uc is of T1 is constant, and also for the translation 2. And this is basically an equation with one variable. So very simple to solve for pairs of translations, and we solve this for all translation pairs in our MBES list for all feature values and for all sentences. So many loops here, but the main trick is just finding intersections. Again, you can optimize this in many different ways. So, for example, not all crossings are important. So, for example, crossing between translation 4 and translation 5, this point, is not relevant. It changes the order in our MBES list, but it doesn't change what is argmax in our MBES list. So we are interested in only those threshold points that are on the top, and we can find those by first starting the... from minus infinity, the translation that will be in, on the top, and that is basically the translation with the biggest slope downwards, and that is the translation which has the highest the most negative hc value. When we find that translation, in this case it's translation 1, then we find its first intersection point and remember that one, and then continue with the next best translation to find its next threshold point, and then continue onwards until we collect all of those. Okay, so other tricks how to get better translation is better tuning results is you can just accumulate NBES lists over different decoder runs, so don't forget the previous NBES lists. Also, you can average the weights that you get in the over many different runs of MERT, but it holds also for other tuning algorithms. Okay, so there are good and bad sides of MERT. Good side is, it unlike many other tuning algorithms, it optimizes corpus level score directly. So you can optimize blue score. The bad side is that it gets stuck in local minima very easily. And there is a nice example in Philip Cohen's book about finding the highest point in San Francisco. So if you imagine yourself there and you try to find the highest point without any maps or whatever, so you can just choose to walk on many different streets. And you walk, find the highest point in one street, and then you cannot go on with that street anymore, so you switch to the other street, and you cannot go diagonally even if you see the highest hill. So in this way you would find some kind of small hill, and but you would not know, it doesn't guarantee that you would find the highest point in San Francisco. Also, it shows that it matters a lot where do you start. If you start in some bad place, you might find near some very local small hill, you might get stuck there. And it really holds for MERT. So that's why many heuristics exist, like you should restart MERT several times with random weights, and you should average the weights in the end, and tricks like this. MERT is also quite unstable, so you run MERT 3 times and you get 3 different blue scores. So if you want to report results that are statistically significant, the recommended recipe is kind of to run it at least 3 times, if not more. And it cannot handle more than a dozen of features. So the example of San Francisco, that's like two-dimensional space, right? And in machine translation, we use at least 10 features. So imagine 10-dimensional San Francisco. It would be really difficult to find your way there, and even more if you have more than 10 dimensions. So that's why there are alternatives, of which I'll just talk briefly. So one of them is called Pro, and it's relatively simple. It allows lots of features by okay, so first it works like by sampling pairs of translations from MBEST list. It happens that always one translation is better than the other one. Let's call that one that is better T better and the other one T worse. And eval here is blue score, sentence level blue score, let's say. So we have this pair of translations and we extract many of those. And then we want the translation that is better to have the higher score than the translation that is worse. We write this again as a multiplication of weight vector lambda with feature values. And then we can move this to the other side. Also, we can multiply it with minus one and get this. And basically, we can treat this now as our training instances. So feature vector that we would get as a subtraction of the feature vector of good translation and bad translation can be a training instance of any linear classifier. We can use linear SVM, logistic regression, whatever you like. And so we just extract training instances in this way, and we transformed ranking problem into ordinary binary classification problem. So the weights that we would find in this way would be optimal for re-ranking. And of course, just like in MERT, we need to repeat this several times and go through the decoding loop again, and basically the architecture is the same. And the one that is even more popular maybe is Myra, which is a large margin online learning algorithm similar to Perceptron. Although, I mean, it is online learning algorithm, but the popular version nowadays is a modification that is a batch version of it, and it's implemented in Moses. So basically, it tries to enforce margin between hypotheses that it would call hope and fear. So hope hypothesis is the one that has very high model score and very good blue score also. So that's a good hopeful translation in a way. And fear hypothesis is the one where we make the biggest mistake. So that's the one which has the highest model score but the lowest blue score. Okay, so when we find these two translations, we find the margin. Margin is basically the difference in the scores. And we want this hope and fear to be as far as possible from each other. And the cost is basically their difference in blue score. So ideally, we want the margin between hope and fear to be equivalent to their difference in blue score. And to do that, we have this update rule to the lambdas, which is basically learning rate times the difference in these two feature vectors. This looks very much like Perceptron, but there is a slight difference that learning rate here in Perceptron is fixed, while here it changes from training instance to training instance. It uses this update formula, which the details don't matter a lot. What matters is that this kind of learning rate enforces large margin between the hope translation and the fear translation. And just like with Pro and MERT, repeat this many times until you get good results. So basically, you can see that there are lots of this looks like black magic. So there are lots of open problems in the tuning of machine translation systems. First, evaluation metrics are really influencing tuning a lot. So both all modern tuning algorithms, Myra, Pro, Perceptron, require sentence level evaluation metrics, and Blue is just not good on the sentence level. So if you want to optimize your corpus level Blue, it's a bit more difficult with Myra, Pro, and Perceptron maybe. Ideally, we would want good metrics, so metrics that correlate with human judgments better than Blue. But weirdly enough, the good metrics usually don't lead to good translations in tuning. So you can have metrics that for example, metrics that are really good on the metrics tasks are those who prefer recall over precision. So it's okay if you put wrong words as long as you have the right words there instead of forgetting to translate some words. And if you give this metric that prefers long translation for the tuning, then machine translation system learns to create super long translations, which is not probably what you want. Second open problem is representation of the space of translations. So NBest list is usually too small compared to the exponential space of possible translations. It's just a small fraction. And the parameters that you find for optimizing this small subspace of this huge space is not necessarily enough. As an alternative, you can use lattices or hypergraphs, but making algorithms that work with them is too complicated because metrics don't factorize to arcs that much. And maybe the biggest problem is that NBest list is not really NBest list. So in the decoding process, we do lots of pruning and all kinds of weird stuff. And what we get in the end as NBest list is some sort of approximation, which is a problem because most of these learning algorithms have guarantees which depend on exact decoding. And this is not the case in machine translations. So there is some work by Liang Huang on handling this kind of cases. And as I understood, it's a project on MT Marathon, so maybe it will be in Moses soon. Another problem is the objective that we are optimizing. So should we increase the margin between translations, or should we minimize the risk, or there are open questions there. And maybe one more open question is latent variables. So NBest list is not NBest list of translations, but NBest list of derivations. So you can see this source sentence, machine translation software, translates to this Chinese sentence. And there are two ways how we can get them. So two different phrase pairs that we can use. Which one is the right one? Well, we don't really know. We know just what is the final translation. We don't know the process that led to that translation. So we don't know which phrase pair to reward and which one to punish. So that's a tricky problem. So basically, in tuning, you need to choose lots of things. You need to choose metric you want to optimize. You need to choose algorithm you want to use. You need to choose the data set, the size of it, or the number of features. And usually, these settings are evaluated with blue score, which is ideally you would want to compare them on human judgments. So that's why this year we organized the tuning task, Andre, Amir, and me, where participants were allowed to submit their feature weights for the machine translation system that was given to them. So basically, we gave them Hiro, Moses, system trained for English Czech and Czech English, and the participants needed to find the right feature values, feature weights. So it was allowed to use any algorithm for tuning, any metric. They could have even optimized it manually if they would consider it possible. Constraint task was the standard setting, like that is 2,000 sentences for tuning. And the standard dense features, but they could also use sparse features in the unconstrained task. And basically, in the results, for example, for Czech English, we can see that Myra is almost always better than Mert. And in this task, for example, the system trained with different evaluation metrics didn't outperform Blue. That is the case for English, for Czech English, but in the case of English Czech, system tuned with different evaluation metrics, so the same algorithm, Myra, but just different evaluation metric, outperformed Blue, system tuned for Blue. So I think this shows how just turning the knobs a bit changes results a lot. So and the systems with sparse features didn't perform that well. Okay, so we try to analyze the systems by their weights, and it's a bit tricky, but because all these weights are connected, so you cannot compare them independently, but let's just try it. So with the word penalty, sparse systems that are this one and this one got a negative word penalty, and they performed really badly. And negative word penalty means generate longer translations. Well, all the other systems found that word penalty should be a positive value, and they performed better. We also reduced the space of possible of weights using PCA to two dimensions, and here the darker dots represent systems that perform better, lighter dots those that are the worst. So there is some systematic thing here, which means optimizing. Component one is helpful. So what is component one is language model and translation model from source to target and word penalty. So this would look like a interesting finding, but unfortunately it doesn't work for the other language pair. So in the other language pair, you can see that there is no obvious pattern, at least. So systems that are very good and similar in performance, like those black dots, find very different settings. And systems that find very similar settings, like those over here, have very different performance, which shows that tuning as a learning task is quite tricky. So basically, tuning is the standard procedure in most of the modern machine translation systems. You might not like it, but it is necessary to get good results, and it's difficult to find the right setting to know whether you are using the best setting. There is no standard procedure, and yes, so since you know these algorithms by now, you can consider participating next year in the tuning task, so maybe we get some better results, and that would be all. So, any questions?
Okay, so let's thank you very much for. And if there really are no more questions, then I think it's time for a coffee break now. And be sure to be back at 11 for the talk about NeuralMD in Google Translate. Thanks.